low-key intro, Andy, for that one?
Well, because Chris is going to bring up the energy in a moment.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, we've got to ease into it. Don't peek too early, Chris.
Oh, okay. He's got his scarf on today, so obviously the Bulldogs got up.
He did get up, the mighty Southerners.
Yes.
10 points over the Royals.
Ten points. Oh, well, that's it, yeah. The Dockers have got up as well. Yes.
Yeah.
Apparently your wife was in a state of, the first time that she'd been to the football this year?
She was in a state of nostalgia. She was a member until about 1998 and went again last night, and she said nothing's changed. There's as much groaning as there is cheering.
Yes, it was a bit of a battle, I understand. But they got there.
They got there.
Yeah, that's all that matters, isn't it?
All that matters is the 4 points. Yes,
when the bell goes at the end, you need to be at the most points. And they did.
Right. They did.
So well done. Well done to the Dockers. Yeah. Okay, so we're talking about travelling. What people don't like about travelling in some instances,
look,
Chris.
I think out of respect to the wonderful Brian Wilson, and you're doing a great job playing that music, God only knows I love travel, but wouldn't it be nice if we could get rid of some of the things with travel and that would make it more fun?
Oh, dear. It's only taking you all week to come up with that too, by the way.
I'll go now.
Yes, mandatory. Now, well done, actually.
Thank you.
Very well. So let's name some names here. Let's call out those things about travel that gives us the irrits.
Yeah, look, we want to keep it upbeat. We know how no matter how you travel, it's always an opportunity and a privilege and quite often it's a luxury as well. You might be fulfilling a bucket list or some other reason. So we don't want to bring it down and say, well, you know, just appreciate your travels. There's still things on travels that annoy us that we all wish would go away. And it can be, I put number one on this list, thinking back to when I was a kid and mum and dad would drive us from Narrogin to Rockingham for our school holidays. And in those days, the Albany Highway, I don't think it had an overtaking lane. And so overtaking lanes on a long weekend. was one of those things, like we'd get to the other end, we'd get to the destination and mum and dad would need a holiday.
Yeah. So overtaking lanes are, absolute necessity.
Absolute necessity.
Yeah, you can get there in some good frame of mind.
Exactly.
Okay. What about when you decide that you're going to stop off and have a bit of a...
Halfway house.
Or a little toilet thing or something grab something to eat. Take advantage of, what they have in offer. And you go in there and guess what?
When I was a kid, we actually weren't allowed to eat in the car. Dad didn't like people eating in his cars. He would drink a spearmint milkshake and then we'd hop in the car and drive off and he'd be belching that smell of spearmint milkshake all the way on the rest of the journey. But these days, as an adult, I like to stop off and I like to pick those bakeries around the state.
Ah, yes.
But quite often when you get there, I notice like there's six pies in a row and you think, great, that one's got my name on it, or at least one of them has, and there's bloody steak and kidney.
Don't you like about steak and kidney?
I don't like anything about steak and kidney.
Why?
And it's the only pie that's left at about 2 PM or something when you rock in.
Steak and kidney, that's fantastic.
Might be one of those poxy spinach and ricotta sausage rolls that's there as well. How do they call that a sausage roll?
I'm with you on that. But
to steak and kidney and it's like everything else, every other rack is empty. There's nothing there but this neat row of six bloody steak and kidney pies. Get your act together, bakeries of WA.
Oh, we're getting the goods now on his...
I'm firing.
On his trip, yeah. So we're out of the car and we've got to the airport.
Yep.
Yeah, and we're getting on a plane. We're going to somewhere at salubris for our holidays. And then what happens?
Well, we've gone from just remembering to have your passport to now having to remember to do so many online visa entry requirements, even Bali, which used to just be the, all you needed was a singlet and your passport.
Yeah, just turn up.
Yeah. Mm. And now you've got to either remember to do it beforehand, the 2-3 days or whatever it is, or they're at the airport on the little PCs and you've got to register everything. And whether that's Malaysia, Bali, and Indonesia, Lots of other countries. You've just got to check so much these days to make sure those requirements are done and met. And it's just taken a little bit of the fun out of all you used to have to do was remember that you had your passport in your back pocket and you were off.
Yeah, that's right.
And so ease up on all these requirements.
Right.
Just register us all through the passport and let us get on with our travels.
Right, okay. Are you running for Parliament this year? Or?
Things are going to change.
A lot of people voting for you for just that alone.
Well, I think the problem with all these requirements as well is that it adds the requirement to have a smartphone. And I think a lot of people still struggle with that as well.
Right.
A lot of demographics in our community that struggle with having a smartphone and how to use it, let alone downloading apps on your travels and having to meet the requirements of all these countries.
Yeah.
Make things simple, I say.
Okay. All right.
Simple man for simple tasks.
Yes. Chris in Malins has got a question for you. People who take too many photos and fake photos for social media on their trip.
He's on the line if you want to hear from
okay.
his dulcet tones.
Hey, g'day, Chris.
Ah, g'day, John. And is that Chris, is it?
Yeah.
It is. Hi, Chris. How are you going?
Yeah, it's not faked photographs. It's just general tourism promotion. Look, I've seen so many, I've been to so many places where you look at the photographs, you know, like in Thailand or Indonesia or Japan, not so much Japan because that's pretty cool, but, you know, I've travelled a little bit. I haven't travelled a lot, but I've travelled a little bit. But, you know, I just recently saw a photograph. It was an international photo advertising West Australia. It had a picture of Wave Rock.
Right.
And it looked like about 100.
Remember about 1999.
Now, it is just the most overrated piece of.
In your humble opinion, yes.
But well, no, it is my humble opinion, John.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, it's just the way they portray places and beaches, like in the Philippines. You get to this beach, or in Vietnam, or somewhere like that. You get to this beach, and it just looks pristine in the photograph. You get to it, it's covered in rubbish,
right.
And there's no wildlife. There's no fish.
The representation in sites and that sort of thing that the tourism associations do. I think we've got a lot more honesty back into it. And I think one of the things that I've certainly noticed, and Wave Rock's a great example, is the pictures that WA Tourism will show these days show people so that you get perspective. And you get that with a lot of sites now around the world. They put people in the shots to sort of show, you know, a bit of perspective around them as well. But I certainly take your point that some things when you get there don't look quite like they do in the CGI world of pics, maybe?
That's advertising. Look at photos of food and then
exactly,
you get your food and it looks nothing like that.
The thing which Chris has reminded me of is also the amount of pictures that people post while they're on their holidays, forgetting to have the experience and thinking about how we've got to post something to show we're having a great time.
Yeah.
And back in the day, and of course I mentioned this quite regularly, that I grew up in Narrogin. So the local paper, the Narrogin Observer, used to have this sort of roundabout, you know, people would contribute little things as to what they were doing. And they would put things in there like, you know, the Fred and Mary Punch are looking forward to going on their cruise from Singapore to Phuket next month.
Yeah.
And then they'd wonder why when they came home their house had been robbed.
Oh, jeez.
So that sort of thing stopped, but I sometimes wonder with all this posting of where you are and what you're doing, you're just letting people know that you're not in the country.
So. I guess security's improved a fair bit around people's homes now, hopefully. Thanks very much, Chris, for your call. We really appreciate it. Speaking of travelling, when you get on the plane, you're not happy here either. Chris, sometimes that the size of the seats and the leg room and where the toilet is and stuff.
Yeah. I'm a happy traveller, but I think when I look back at the way flights used to be and I look at where they're going and it's certainly a cost benefit analysis that they're looking at more than the comfort of us, and the plane is small enough as it is, and so the big debate about reclining your seat. You've got people that will say, yeah, you can do it because the seat can do it. I don't ever do it. It's just one of those things that I don't like to do.
Yeah.
But I think the one that really gets me, even more than reclining the seat, is that when the plane stops and you get the bing, and it's like everybody just jumps up and has to stand there. They can't move.
No.
The air bridge hasn't even attached yet.
No.
And everyone's got to stand there and be ready to rush, what, to the baggage carousel and yes. wait there as well.
Yeah.
And crowd forward right to the edge of the baggage carousel because, yeah, that'll make your bag come out first.
No, it doesn't. they absolutely are.
Are you agreeing with these points?
Yeah, I am. I am. Yes.
I feel I'm the one being
most
Captain Grumpy.
No, not at all. No, the one that I do certainly agree with is, as you say, never travel with you and never travel. Every time I used to go on, I've done lots of flights and things backwards and forwards for work and what have you. My flight always seemed to be at the furthest gate.
I know.
I mean, I don't know. I guess, you know, I think when the plane would normally be at Aero Bridge 1 or yeah. something, they'd see me coming and the authorities would say, oh, let's move that to gate 500. Let's merge us on this. He needs the exercise.
I always arrive at this little concrete outbuilding with a guy there with all the lawnmowers. You know, he's sort of like the caretaker for the whole airport. He says, your plane will be here in a minute, mate. You get that furthest gate and there's no shops. There's no toilets, there's no water fountain, there's no seats. There's just a few broken old seats that they are renovating the airport and that's where they dump them. Don't travel with me.
Oh, gosh. I'm not, yes, I don't believe that for a minute. Travel's in the lap of, but yeah. I'm told. I'm with you with the baggage carousel crowders, you know, yep. where people always want to, you know, burst to the front and stand there and yep. you can't see whether your bag's coming or not.
I got so annoyed with that I just don't take anything that I check in anymore. If it's not carry on, we don't travel.
So. Yeah, well, yeah. That's the quickest way to do it. There's yep. no question in about that. Yeah. What about... you get annoyed because there's so many people, but they're on holiday like you are. You think you're going to be there on your own? Why are all these people going on holiday when I am?
What are all these bloody tourists doing here at Trevi Fountain? Why are there so many people here? So we do forget that we're the tourist as well. But and you know, I took a photo when you go to the Louvre and you see the Mona Lisa. And you can go into the wings there.
I don't think you're in the loo if you can see the Mona Lisa.
Well, I was moaning. Yeah. I was down to like the wings of the gallery there and I looked back and took a picture of the view of everyone looking at the Mona Lisa.
Right.
And, you know, I shared that with a few people and I'm like, oh, what a shame you didn't get it when there was nobody there. But in that instance, I think it's actually pretty cool and quite wonderful that here you've got a painting that is a celebrity that attracts these crowds of people.
Hmm.
So there are moments where you don't mind being part of a tourist or being a tourist. And I think as well, you just accept that some of these places you go to, like a rite of passage, everyone else in the world wants to be there too.
Yeah.
But sometimes it just gets a little bit, you know, they're blocking the view you want. You know, they're arm in arm looking at the view of the trolleys in Puglia, and they won't get out of the way so you can take a picture without them in it. So yeah, I think there's an issue there with you know, sometimes we just get a little bit peeved with the amount of tourists that surround us when we're a tourist.
Okay. I guess if you have problems with that, you'd hate the buffet then, wouldn't you? I've got to bring that up.
The only buffet I love is Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Boom,
that deserves another one, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Look, I think the funniest thing about the buffet, and we all do this, is that so you rock up at your restaurant, you know, buffet 98 last night, whatever. Went again last night, and you stand there in front of the dais counter thing where the maitre d' is waiting, and they're looking at the number of the bookings, and they look at you and how many, and they walk you over to a table, and they sit you down and walk off, and you slowly count to three, and you stand up and walk to the buffet. You just sit down for those couple of seconds. Why? Why don't we just say to the guy, yeah, what table? Okay, thanks. We're heading over to the scrambled eggs. But we sit down as if we're all polite and courteous and yes. We just stand up and walk again. But the one thing, I've just been thinking about this with eggs, just like a mama grizzly and her cub, don't get between the egg station and my wife.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Why?
But she'll rip you to shreds, Virgo. That egg station that makes the eggs just how you like it. Once people become set on the egg station rather than the scrambled eggs that are already made and the poached eggs and things.
So you're talking about breakfast here,
yeah.
Obviously.
So once people want their special bespoke eggs made by the person that tosses them and puts in whatever you want, don't get between that person and the egg station.
Right, okay.
Particularly my wife.
Okay.
Well. Yeah.
What about? All right. Well, right by that egg station, there's always the toaster, isn't there?
Where
the
ram.
How do you go with getting your bread into the toaster with little inconvenience as possible?
Well, I think we need to get some sort of security expert on the show that can give us some advice on the best padlocks, because these things need to be locked up so that people don't touch those buttons that change the speed. Yeah. And I've been in a line where a guy put a croissant in it and it caught fire. When the croissant came out, it was like some sort of molten rock from Hawaii.
Yes.
But just don't touch.
Right, okay.
If it doesn't drop and it hasn't got your satisfaction of toasting level on it, put it through again, I say.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know you could adjust them. I've just always just put the bread in and let it go through and take it back out. It'll look exactly the same as when I put it
in. And, you know, I've had people, like, you're standing there waiting for your nice bit of white bread to come through.
Yeah.
And then someone comes in on the side and takes it. They think it's some sort of instant toasting machine.
Bread nappers.
Bloody bread nappers.
Jeez.
Coined a term there, Burjo.
Unbelievable.
Bread nappers.
Yeah. Bread nappers.
Yeah, so that toasting ramp thing. Mm. And the other thing at buffets is indecisiveness. So you're waiting as people inch along and you can see what the food is. You know what you're going to take. I'm going to take 3 prawns, might get a little bit of that salad, that little sirloin looks good. And then people get there and they stand there just looking at the food. Just grab the tongs and go, mate.
Jeez. Oh, God. I'm going to decide now to take a bit of a break because, I can't imagine coming on holiday with you. No wonder your wife cancelled her football membership as well. We'll be back with Chris Parry. He's our travel expert here with Burjo on this Sunday afternoon on Perth 6PR.
On Perth 6PR, this is The Catch-Up with John Burgess.
And we're talking to Chris Parry, who's our travel expert. And Chris, you would have already met Nadia, who's looking after things very professionally for us here this afternoon, which is
leaving me out in the cold for too long this afternoon. I've got the scarf on.
Well, Nadia has a point that she wanted to bring up. She said she got quite annoyed in Rome, in the Vatican. Because she said it says no talking and no photos, yet there were people in the Sistine Chapel taking photos.
Yeah.
Where there were signs everywhere.
Yeah, I think it was me talking.
That was...
And I bumped into her when I was there. Yeah. No, there are these wonderful little signs and it says no filmy, you know.
Yeah. Yes.
And it is amazing to have that lack of respect. There's a rule, you're in someone else's country, it's different rules, different regulations, different culture.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you try and stick by it. I know that I got a little picture of the Sistine Chapel as you're walking in.
Right.
You know, technicality, the steps, my son's in front of me and I just took a picture and you can sort of see into the Sistine Chapel.
Mm-hmm.
But then put everything away and just appreciate the experience. Like we were talking before about people taking pictures because they're thinking about being able to post it and the rest of it. Just appreciate the experience while you're there.
Yeah, well, that's the world now. Everyone's posting their photos and, but show off right, and say where they've been, what I've done.
And Nadi is quite right, because I think it makes you frustrated yourself and takes away from your own experience when you're sitting there trying to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And if people are talking when they're not meant to,
yep.
or taking pictures, and that's aggravating you because you know they shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah. Well, it's called respect, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I know you have another pet peeve about kids looking through the seats in front of you. Wanted to be entertained.
And this happened to my family recently, and I was able to observe it in all its glory. My two wonderful kids, Matilda and Tom, were sitting in the aisle opposite me,
right.
and in front of them was a toddler, and both their parents very quickly put on the eye masks and had probably taken something with a glass of water and went off to sleep. And this kid was launching itself off the seat and reaching out to them and putting the head through and wanting to reach for what they were playing with, their devices and things like that. And it's the, but being the entertainment for someone else's child when you just want to look after yourself. God, I'm sounding miserable and grumpy, aren't I?
Not at all. No, as a matter of fact, yes, it happens to everybody, not just to you, Chris.
So good.
I'm sure. Laz from Guildford online has got a travel story. He went to the wrong destination. Laz, tell me about it. What happened?
Yeah, hey, how you going, guys? Yeah, I took my family to go to Gallipoli on Anzac Day, and we were in the wrong Gallipoli, which is in Italy.
Yeah, in Puglia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I know it will.
Right down the bottom there.
Yeah, it is.
Says, when's the service on? So what are you talking about?
Oh, dear. Did you sack your travel agent or what?
Oh, no, we were just backpacking.
And you wouldn't believe
this, that the guy that actually spoke to me, was there.
Yep.
He was Italian, but he was from Fremantle, and he was a Dockers supporter.
They're everywhere. fantastic. Well, I'm sorry it went away, but we talked about Gallipoli just a couple
we battled for tourism, but and then also within the scope of Puglia as a hidden treasure as well.
Yeah. And speaking of Fremantle,
David from North Rio is on the line. David, what's going on?
How are you, gents?
Going well.
Look, I've travelled a lot. I lived overseas for nearly 15 years, lawfully, just about everywhere. And I tell you what, though, the most embarrassing thing of all is to be at a breakfast buffet in Bali with a bunch of Aussies there having their breakfast. There's nothing like it. I mean, spending time at the zoo, there's more manners, I think, sometimes. And
a bit harsh.
And did you get Virgo's autograph?
We don't travel well, mate. We don't travel well.
Good on you, David. Yeah, we got a bit of a problem there with the line, but David, thanks very much for calling in. And you've experienced that, I'm sure, haven't you? Or have you been one of the offenders?
Probably,
I reckon.
Probably. Eh? Yeah. Look, and finally, on buffets for me are kids.
Right.
Kids should always be in the company of an adult. Don't send them up on their own. They pick everything off the tier of desserts, and then they decide they don't want it, and they put it back. They're at eye level with all the food, and they're sniffing and sneezing and putting their fingers in their mouth and on the food.
Yeah, well,
go up with them.
Okay.
Don't leave them on their own.
Yeah, well, if you're not going to a buffet, if you're sitting down in a restaurant, you know, you say, oh, could I have a nice table, thanks. And if you're travelling on your own, it can be a nightmare, can't it? Because, they set the tables up for two or four or eight or 10 or 12 or something. You walk in and you're, I just want a table for one. So where do they... Never they normally send you.
Surely this has happened to you guys, and surely people listening who have travelled for work on their own and gone into their motel or hotel restaurant and you want dinner, and they always put you, if you're on your own, they put you by the restaurant doors. They sit you there. You're never at the window or out on the alfresco area. You're always just put by the restaurant doors.
So yeah. You don't think they put you there because this bloke looks like he can eat a fair bit.
Maybe.
We better have the shortest walk for the waiter because he's going to be demanding.
I do try and wear at least jeans, not my tracky pants when I go out for dinner. But, yeah, I think eating on your own always comes with it, that peril of not just being respected as much by restaurant staff.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Just another pet peeve
that Chris has.
And one that everybody has. I mean, you go on holidays, you're looking forward to getting away from it all, having a great time and rest up, and you get sick.
I know.
So it's got to be that's the worst, isn't it?
Yeah, I was talking to my daughter Matilda yesterday, and in Paris she was a bit sick, and so her memories are, you know, she still got to do everything. You went up the Eiffel Tower and all those things, and you do a cruise on the Seine. And so she did it, but the memories are a little bit tainted by the fact that she was also sick.
Right.
You know, had a cold, and it's just not as good. So at least she got to see it all. I think it's worse when the itinerary gets changed. But even worse, I think, when you're sick, when you're travelling, is when you still have to travel. Like, you can't just lie in bed and be miserable and be looked after by someone.
Yeah.
But when you still have to check out of a hotel and you've got to get to an airport and you've got to get to the furthest gate as well, that always happens,
Yes.
So, but being sick when you still have to travel is awful.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Not much you can do about it if it happens. But, it's one of those things we definitely don't like.
No. So we've been through all the terrifying moments, whatever, what could possibly go wrong on your trip. And then you're sort of getting back on the plane and you've got to weigh your cabin baggage and you've bought everything in sight. You're trying to board with a million bags or something and you want to store it in that little space above your seat. How do you get on with that?
Geez, I hate it when someone's put their overhead stuff above me. And there's a growing trend here with, you know how they board from the back?
Yep.
So the people that hop on first are putting their bags in those first rows.
Right.
Yeah. So that they can just stand up and walk down the aisle and grab their bag. Mm. So it just stuffs up everyone. But what I find even more bizarre, and someone I think we all know here, Christina Morrissey.
Yes.
She does this. When she travels, she carries like those duty-free plastic bags. And that's what she uses to put stuff in because it looks like she's been shopping in the airport.
Right.
Because when you get your bag weighed, like for your carry-on, and you've been very meticulous about what you put in it so that you can have it on the plane with you and not have it checked in, but then when you're in the airport, you can then go and buy a truckload of stuff in plastic bags and walk on the plane with it.
Yeah.
So that's what she's doing. She's putting all her stuff in that. As if it's been brought in the airport.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't understand that. There's this, you know, that they're so finicky about the 3.2 kilos, the 3.1, all the rest. Mm. And then you can just buy what you want.
Yeah. I mean, the reason people like to put their luggage and what have you in the overhead lockers right at the front of the plane is because they've paid an exorbitant amount of money to have that privilege, Chris. That may have escaped you.
It may have escaped me.
But well done to Chrissy. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. All right, well, I guess
groaning as
and things, we come back and we want to bore people. Excuse me for this term, but I can't think of another word. You want to bore people shitless with it. We don't do that. I can remember, you know, we had slide nights and things.
Slide nights.
Yes. That's whatever happened to slide nights.
Technology came along. But it was such a wonderful – well, I thought it was wonderful. I know that I watched a few of those slide nights and PowerPoints and I edited a few videos myself and had people come over to watch them.
Right.
And I miss that. No, nobody does that anymore. I mean, we barely print photos and put them in albums anymore.
No.
But it used to be a case of when people came back from their travels, you'd get invited over for a night of going through their adventures and we don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bring it back, I say.
Yeah, bring it back.
Bring back the slide night.
We'll bring you back next week. What do you think?
All right, I'm on.
Travel expert extraordinaire Chris Parry with Burjo here on this Sunday afternoon on Perth's 6PR.